Hallelujah.
All right.
We are live, and welcome for those that are listening and those that are here tonight. And we are going to continue with our teaching on biblical hermeneutics. And tonight we're going to look at threefold things again, as we're going to just walk into a deeper revelation of what God wants to say. And I pray by the Holy Spirit that everyone will receive what they need to receive tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I first want to start off with that scripture so that we can just go back and get everybody on the same page. And that's in Proverbs 22 and 20 to 21. And it says, "Haven't I written unto thee excellent things in counsel and wisdom, so that you will understand the certainty of truth?" That is my translation. I'm just going to read that to you, if I quote that verbatim. Haven't I written unto thee excellent things? And we know that in the Hebrew language, the word excellent there is the word shalos. And it means, well, threefold things. Some translations say a triple, a triangle, a threefold measure. And so when you move into a general of the third rank, we're talking about that. The transliteral, I think it is in the, which translation? In the Young's literal translation, it says, "Haven't I not written unto thee three times?" The Jerusalem Bible adds, "Have I not written unto thee 30 chapters?" And so, the moment when there's a magnification of the number, so 3 to 30, and remember the number 30 denotes also maturity. Right? Jesus was 30 years of age when he entered into ministry. David was 30 years of age when he ascended to the throne. Even when you want to see dreams and visions, the prophet was 30 years of age at the river Kibar, when the Bible said God opened up his mind and he saw visions of God.
The ministry started at 30 years.
Amen. Jesus, 30, Joseph, when he ascended to the throne, second to Pharaoh, he was 30 years of age. And it's not just a natural age. The number 30 really speaks of the place where we've matured in the things of God. And as we walk out these things in God, every one of us must start to mature in the things of God. Remember in Romans that the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth. We want to fix the earth. Somewhere along the line, we as the sons of God need to mature in the things of God. And so hopefully tonight, eventually I'm gonna touch on the kingdom of God. So we'll just check out time and so forth. So who have the scripture open in Proverbs 22 and 20? Anybody? Must I just read it myself? Get it for. Proverbs 22, verse 20. "Have I not written unto thee," but let's just read it. Verse 20. This is our principal scripture that we're going to use for threefold things. "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee known the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee." And the Amplified reads, "To make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might give a true answer to those who sent you." "Have I not written to you long ago excellent things in counsel and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth?" If you want to know the certainty of the words of God's word, if you want to be certain, God says, "I have written the word in excellent things so that you will understand, so that you will listen, Have I not written to you long ago excellent things in counsel and knowledge? You want to have counsel, you want to have knowledge, you want to have know the things of God. One of the great principles of interpretation is that God has written the Bible in threefold things. Everything. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to show you from the natural, the groupings of threefold things in the natural world. Because God did not just... And then we're going to look at it from a point of scripture and just go through a few of those groupings and why it's important. All right. So first, the natural world. Groupings in threefold things. So when you look at the universe, the three aspects of the universe are space, time, and matter. One, two, three. All right. The three divisions of time are... Everybody with me? Past, present, future. Threefold things. This is how God created stuff. The main parts of a living cell are the cell membrane, the nucleus, and the cytoplasm. Rocks are classified as igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic. One, two, three. Three parts of an atom are protons, neutrons, and electrons. One, two, three. The main parts of an egg are the shell, the egg white, and the yolk.
Three states of matter is solid, liquid, gas.
That's what is next. All right. Three primary colors are
red,
yellow, and blue. All right. Red, yellow, and blue. What is the color of our king? He is the color purple. Say purple.
Purple.
What color is the sky?
Blue.
Blue. What do you need blue to mix with so you can get purple?
Red.
All right. So the red of the earth mingled with the blue of the sky because he became the earth man. He is the man from heaven, became the man that is of the earthy earth. He took on flesh. And he became our king. The color of our king is the color purple. Amen. Okay. That's free. All right, that's free. You can get that for free. Those of you who are listening, that's free. All right. The environment is contained in the land, the sea, and the air. One, two, three. I want you to see that God created natural threes. It's not just biblical or spiritual stuff. These are the things that you see that God created in that form. Okay. Classification of the earth's contents is either animal, vegetable, or mineral. One, two, three. Many even use patterns of trees in organizing society. There are three branches of government. Legislative. Executive, judicial. Three levels of education. Primary, secondary, tertiary. Three groupings of maturity. Children, adolescents, adults. Years are divided into days, weeks,
months,
and months. Time is recorded on the clock in seconds,
minutes,
hours. All right, and there are more. I believe if you start now to just open up your eyes and just go through life and look at the natural things, you yourself will find a lot more. Amen. All right, so here's the thing. In Psalm 19 from verse 1 to 3, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And so remember what happened in Genesis 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So God created the natural world, And it has his design, that God has designed to give us spiritual understanding. And I want you to constantly look at that. Every time when you look at the natural things or the natural things that God has created, remember what Psalm said. The heavens was declared. The heavens declare the glory of God. So when you look up at the stars, so just looking at, wow, it's beautiful. They say something about the glory of God. They say something about God. Amen? Amen. So if we really want to understand the things of God, just look at the natural. So when you go fishing, camping, when you go and sit and look at wildlife, look for God. Let God speak. Let Him speak out of all these natural things that He has created. All right, now, threes in the Bible, of groupings of threes. Let me just... Why is it important again? Because here is what Proverbs say. If you want to have truth, and you want to make sure that it is the word. Because yes, remember what I said last week, or the week before, I can't remember. That a portion of scripture, there are three ways that you can interpret a portion of scripture. Mm-hmm. So if I say to you, and I take a picture, that's why we're looking at it from a picture. There's a woman, and she has an issue of blood. And the issue of blood is there for 12 years. Remember the story? Well, you can get that for me while I'm busy. Somebody just get it to me. The woman with the issue of blood. While I just... So there's a woman, she's got an issue of blood, she's got an issue for 12 years. The Bible say that she went to every physician of the day for 12 years, giving all her money away and seeking for healing. And nobody could heal her. And she had that the issue of blood, the blood that was flowing from a productive cycle. Remember, her cycle never stopped. It just continued and continued and continued. Mm. And she had that thing for 12 years. Mm. She gave all her money away. It's like all the promises that we get. If you send your money to my church, then only then God will give you. Remember, the physicians of the day were the teachers of the day. Remember that. So it is. It's really from a place of understanding. You must understand that if people say that you must send money to a church or an organization or a televangelist, and only then God will give you your healing or your blessing, that is unscriptural. It's not God. I don't care who says that. He is wrong. He's an error.
Verse 20.
So we are here in the book of Matthew. There it is. Matthew 9, verse 20. All right. And suddenly, let's just read from 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, so did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I might touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Now that is Matthew. Who have you, anybody's Bibles open somewhere? Not. Can you cross reference for me to somewhere in the other Gospels where it's also written?
Yes.
So I'm just going to take you, because here's the thing. To have the whole picture, you must read it in all the Gospels.
Mark 5, verse 25.
All right. So while they're busy, remember now the tabernacle of Moses, outer court, holy place, most holy place, three dimensions. God has erected this because this is the way that God's going to speak. He's not just going to speak to us in those dimensions, he's also going to meet with us in those places. And there's a scripture. Do we have it?
Mark 5, 25.
Mark 5, verse 25. Now remember that portion that I wrote out of Matthew. That's how Matthew saw it.
Yeah.
Now remember, because remember, this is their own eyewitness account. Everybody is seeing something about God from a different angle.
Okay.
Remember when you read these things. Mm. All right. So now, this is what Mark saw, from verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better. All the money. Sometimes they say all the money was given away. But rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have people to have faith like that in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That you would break the law of the day to get to Jesus. There is no way. That woman was not allowed amongst, first of all, amongst the men. Second of all, she had an issue of blood. According to the Jewish custom, she was unclean. She had no right to be there. Everybody that she's touching in that condition came under that same thing, that they were unclean. Remember that. All right, first and foremost, she could have no relationship with no man. She couldn't be intimate with no man from a natural perspective because she constantly had that issue. And everybody who touched her was unclean. She had a miserable life for 12 years. All right, now listen. And when she heard about Jesus, she came from behind the crowd and touched him. For she said, if only I might touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. I want you to see this. He felt, that's why I want to teach you guys. There's going to be a day that I need to teach you that you can release whatever God has given you. Power can flow out of your life. You can feel it touching people, going into people.
Wow.
Jesus was standing there and he felt our power left him. Said, wow, somebody touched me with faith, because that is how you get whatever you want to get from whoever is anointed from God. You come and you touch them by faith. You come and you receive. You expect and ready. I'm open, Lord. Give to me whatever you want to and whatever you know that I need. Because God knows. You might not even know that you need that. But God knows what you need. And so this woman was breaking a natural law to get to Jesus. Right? Now listen. If only I might touch his clothes, he shall make me whole. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? No, listen, I want you to understand this. This is Jesus. He was supposed to know who's touching him. But he is now saying this. He knows exactly who's touching him. It's Jesus. He's saying this. Who touched me? He's asking, and he's not just saying that, he's asking a question. You see, there's a question. Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, I guess that was maybe James. You see the multitude thronging you? And you say, who touched me? Maybe the sun was just too hot that day, Jesus. Maybe we need to just help you because everybody's touching you. What do you mean somebody's touching you?
into the ground and squishing.
All right. But it's all right. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." All right. Now, I'm going to stop there.
There's another one.
Okay. I know there's another one. All right. So here we have Outer Court 1, Holy Place 2, Most Holy Place 3. Three dimensions. If I take that teaching, I can teach a lot of things out of that teaching to many people. So here we have what we call evangelical churches. These churches are not Pentecostal. All right? So whenever they teach, and whatever they teach, they will usually teach you the historical event that happened. They will tell you the story about that woman, which is a true story. All right? Mm. And they will teach the reality that Jesus did heal historically. And he did heal that woman. And she had an issue of blood for 12 years. And they will go on and tell you all the events and what happened and what and all the customs and all the things, which is all true. And so they give you what we call the shell of that thing. Remember that seed? In the shell form, that is how they teach the seed. And so they will teach you about an historical Jesus that walked the earth, the Sea of Galilee, and that he really existed. And all of this, and that is true. And there's a lot of things that you can take out of that. And so most of the things that will come out of that is encouragement. That there is a Jesus that will take care of you. That there is a Jesus who looks at your affliction and is full of comfort. We move on with that teaching of that same woman, and I take you into the holy place. So this is the outer court with the evangelical churches. Here we have the holy place. And just for to define this thing and to give a definition, here we have Pentecostal, charismatic people. And they will start to, because they've been filled now, most of these pastors have been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They had a greater understanding or revelation, maybe from this portion of scripture. And it's not just that they will just teach you the historical event that happened and maybe some encouragement out of it, but they'll start to tell you about that. If you have faith, and if you can press in to God, and if you don't give up, that the same Jesus that walked the seas of Galilee will walk into your life and touch you and heal you. Mm. Is that true?
Mm.
It's a true story. Someone will even come and teach you from the perspective of the clothing, and they'll go into the talit that he was carrying or the spray cloth, and even go into how she touched not just any part of his clothing, but she touched the seam, the hem. There was enough power that he could feel. That means that she went so low, and they'll start. Now here's a lot of teachings that come. Listen, because all of it is true. It's part of God. So remember, out of 1, 2, 3. All right. So here's the thing. All of it is true. And so from a place of your moral life, they will start now to teach you things from that perspective. They will tell you things like, You don't have to just go to physical doctors and put all your faith within them. That there is a place for divine healing. That God is a divine healer.
Mm-hmm.
That you can have faith in God. And even great healing ministry started because of that. It's all true. And you need it. Some will teach about the anointing. Some will just go on and just give you just one portion and tell you about, and they will major on that. That come to receive the anointing from a man of God and feel how this thing flows out of you. Is that true? Don't just look at them and say, oh no, I don't believe in that. No, that they can teach that because it is true. In that dimension, it's true. Some will teach you about her own humility, how she came and she humbled herself in the presence of everybody else and lay herself down at the feet of Jesus to touch the hem of his garment while they were walking. And if you can humiliate yourself in the presence of God, that God will do mighty things. Is that a truth? Yes, it is. But remember, that's just a portion of the truth. So now, remember, now God is giving me counsel. So from a moral perspective, there's a lot of teachings that you can now take from that. And people can encourage you and motivate you and bring encouragement to your life about this Jesus that now in spirit can do the same as the one who walked naturally on the sea. Because he who was yesterday, today, and forever is the same. He's the same Jesus. So if I want to take that same story into the third dimension, what will I tell you? Because now the spiritual thing is, now this thing, remember, one and two is almost exactly the same. Same teaching, same stuff. You will find that even the evangelicals will tell you about it. He can heal you. He will might not heal all. Yeah, they will tell you, well, God can heal. He will heal all. Although not everybody is healed, but they will tell you, he will heal all. So what is this teaching in the most holy place? And here's the thing that, remember, what is the makeup of water? How do you get water?
H2O.
H2O, yes. So, what do you need to get water?
Oxygen.
All right.
And hydrogen.
Yeah, that's it. All right. On its own. It's a gas. If I want it to become liquid. Say it changes form. Alright, so the seed, outer cord, I put in the ground. This is the teaching that I get. So you can go to most churches, you'll get a teaching there. And for some people, that is just all that they need. It's magnificent, it's awesome. And you must understand that it is the truth. Do not beat the church. For she is his wife. She's his body. Don't speak against them. Even if God is now opening up your eyes to see greater things, we must love all of him. Say he's altogether lovely. Say he's all. It's outer court, holy place, and he's altogether lovely. I want to teach you that. He's altogether lovely. That's why you must love all of the body of Christ. You must be in a position where you can go to any church and worship God. Even if it's evangelical, listen. This is what people usually ask me when I meet up with them. Because everybody wants to identify themselves with where they are. So if they hear that I'm a Christian and even a pastor.
What denomination?
What denomination are you? So I started with this. So what do you mean? Because the common ground is that we believe in the same Father. His name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do a test to see if your children are your own, do you do a skin graft? Anybody?
No.
No.
A skin graft? What do you do?
DNA.
A blood.
Or blood.
A blood.
Blood test.
A blood test. You see, our problem is that we are testing so many things except the thing that was supposed to be tested. It is the blood. And now I start off, I say, all right. So if you want to know if I am Catholic, and I say, I am Catholic. Not by denomination or organization, but I'm definitely Catholic by experience. Do you know what Catholic means? I even asked that for the Catholics.
And they can't answer.
Because the word Catholic means one. You see, he was the original Catholic. He created this thing. It is the oneness of God. Everything in him is but one. You see, it was never... Jesus would come to David and said, this is what he said to him, you never ever count the people. Don't count them. That's what, you know, you understand? Denominate the nations. That's how it happened. That's how denomination started. Because we were looking for our
numbers.
Strength in numbers. Who is with me? God says, lo and behold, I remember David walking, and even all of them, when the angel of the Lord appeared, then they would ask, when they saw him, who are you with? Then that angel will say, I am with the Lord. You see, here's the thing, God is not with us.
We are with him.
You're either with God. You were supposed to walk with him in the cool of the day. You see, what we are trying to do, we are even trying to bring God into our own personal struggles in life and hope that God will be for us and against our enemies. Now, I want to tell you something about God. God does not have enemies. Everybody is defeated under his feet. You might have enemies. Your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking to devour those that he can find. God has no enemies. He has defeated them all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So then I tell them, I'm Catholic by experience, not by denomination. Oh, you want to know if I'm Presbyterian? We're talking now, Hallelujah, are you Presbyterian? Yes, I am. Then I asked him, do you know what Presbyterian means? Comes from the word presbyteros. Alright, the elderships of the day. But the word what they really did was by the laying on of hands. That they were bringing people in ordination. Do you believe in the laying on of hands? Then you must be
Presbyterian.
By experience and not by denomination. When David numbered the people, you know what happened? God started to kill them. God. The angel of the Lord came in and just started to destroy. And then David said, whoa, what am I doing? And he went down to the threshing floor. And he was looking for God and said, how do I stop this? Who said you must count them? God weighs his people. He never counts them. He weighs Christians from a place of fruitfulness. God can do more with one person that is righteous. The prayer of a righteous man avail much. Not just a group. I'll show you a group of people who prayed and never believed. When Rhoda went to the door, they were praying for Peter when he was in jail. Remember? Peter's in jail, they're praying. I'll show you. And then the following moment, there's a knock at the door. Now, this is you guys. You are praying, you're praying for anything. You're praying for somebody to be healed. You're praying for a breakthrough. You're praying. You're praying and praying and praying. They were praying, they were coming, they called each other, said, we need to pray. And then there's a knock at the door. So there's this little girl, there's a Rhoda, has a name. She's going to go, there's a knock. So she runs to the door. Open the door. My golly, it is Peter. It's a nice story. There's also 1, 2, 3, but not for now. They look, it's Peter. Wow. I guess he closed the door. Ran back to the group that are praying. Because that's all that I do. All these religious things. Because we think that we can get God by being religious.
Now he's answering, he's at the door. Rhoda's coming. Peter's at the door. You know what they said? It's in your Bible.
It can't be
Peter. It must be his angel.
No, I'm going to teach you something one day that the power of agreement is equal to the power of faith. That's why you can be without faith if you just can agree as two or three agree. If you can agree in his name, if you can, you don't have, but I don't have faith. Just agree with me. And the word there is symphony, that's the word agreement. Mm-hmm. It's like a symphony. Mm-hmm. So when we start to make music together, you like touching something. You agree. Mm-hmm. I don't have faith. I don't ask you to have faith. I say, agree with me. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. Peter will get out of jail. We're praying for, he's at the door. No, he can't be. It must be his angel. So Rhoda's just going back. Well, let's get him in. What are the things that some of us are praying and believing God? And hopefully there's some one that's just sitting with you and agreeing and touching all the things of God. Hallelujah. Where were we?
In agreement.
In agreement.
Yes. Hallelujah. And so these people. So when I said, are you a Presbyterian? I say yes, by
spirit.
Not by denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Louis, are you a Baptist? Who of you believe in water baptism by immersion? Mm-hmm. Who of you believe, oh, you're a Baptist? Not by denomination, but by experience.
Mm-hmm.
You see, these things that we've made churches of were supposed to be thresholds of truth that I was supposed to walk through and experience in God. These are not, hallelujah, organizations with walls that we were supposed to create with pyramid schemes and who is the headship and the huncho of everything. These were not the things. God never looked at it. That was not his purpose nor his plan.
Amen. Amen.
The holy clubs. Lutheran. Louis, are you a Lutheran? I look at them and say, you have no idea. The Lutherans. Do you know who's the Lutherans? They were the holy clubs. They believe in Bible study. They were coming together like we do. Hallelujah. But they believe in another world called sanctification. Hallelujah. Jehovah Mekadesh. Hallelujah. How holy God. Hallelujah. That you need to live a separated, sanctified life. Hallelujah. Jesus. Do you believe in the holiness of God? Then you are a Lutheran, not by denomination, but by
experience.
And so we can continue. Are you Pentecostal? Can I tell you something about Pentecost? It's not just the pouring out of the oil, speaking in tongues, because everybody thinks it's about the speaking in tongues. Let me tell you, the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost when 102 were in the upper room, hallelujah, was the earnest of your inheritance. Say earnest.
Earnest.
Of my inheritance.
Of mine.
Say earnest means down payment.
Down payment.
It was never your graduation. That was your birth certificate and never your graduation certificate. You see, what we've made Pentecost, that's why everybody's still looking for another Pentecost. You will never get another Pentecost. My Bible says Pentecost had fully come. Jesus, help us, Lord. But you and I must experience our own Pentecost by experience.
Thank you.
Can I tell you something about the true Pentecost? The real Pentecostal experience is not just the gifts and the tongues and those things that flow. The real, you know what happened? It crossed boundaries. Male and female. Young and old. Black and white. I'll show you. Because if we talk about real Pentecost, do you know who God used in the Susan Street with the outpouring of the oil? It was a combination of a white man, Param, and a black man, a one-eyed Negro. He could not, he was not allowed in the segregation of the day to be part of the Bible study of the whites.
Hmm. Even those days.
But Param was from another world. And so what he did is he allowed him to sit on the outside of the classroom to listen to his teaching. And on a specific day he was teaching, and remember, he was teaching about the outpouring of the Spirit. And although when you go back in the 1700s up into the 1800s, then close to the 1901, 1902, there were these people who God poured out His Spirit here and there, and they started to speak in tongues. So what Param did, remember the black man was William Seymour. He only had one eye. One eye. So God used this one man as a catalyst to teach somebody that God is going to use to touch the whole world. Mm. Black and white. Mm. So God, Param was teaching, telling people that you can be filled. He himself didn't experience it yet, but he was reading it in the Bible and said, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can speak in other tongues. And in one specific day, a woman was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she started to speak in tongues. Mr. Seymour hadn't experienced it. He was sitting on the outside. He heard that it was moved within his heart. Oh, my goodness. And then the teachings, they didn't allow him. And here's the thing. And he was a minister. And he decided he'll go to Azusa Street. He'll go there, and he will have Bible study with people. And somehow they didn't want him there. His first two meetings. And they said, Lord, where must I go? And they, Azusa Street, remember, it was a dilapidated old stall that they used. He didn't have a, he used a box. Where he placed his head underneath the box. And then he prayed and he said, Lord, if this is true, that you can still pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, please come Sunday after Sunday. And then God showed up, and it became the greatest revival ever documented, that ran 24/7 each day for more than 3 years. That the power of God was so great that people in blocks away fell out under the power of God. That everybody worldwide was touched by that. They flew in. Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right. So are you Pentecostal? Yes. By experience. Mm-hmm. Are you charismatic? The charisma, the gifts. Yes, you are, by experience. Are you kingdom? He said, you see, we've created things and we shouldn't have. These things were never supposed to be organizations or denominations. Experiences in God. That's why it was all supposed to be. Hallelujah. So as we move into the third dimension of the truth of this portion of scripture, with this woman with the issue of blood, every woman in the Bible represents what?
Church.
The church. First and foremost. Second of all, every woman in the Bible represents the soul or the suke of man. So that's what it represents. Because remember, you are a trichotomy. Body, soul, spirit. Say three.
Three.
Outer court, holy place, most holy place. All right. If you look at animals, animals does not have spirit. Animals only have a dichotomy. Two. Soul, body. Do you have it? Plants. Do they have soul? No. Body. So all these things are alive.
Alive.
What is the purpose of spirit then?
To glorify God.
Spirit is the only way that I can connect to God. Without spirit, there's nothing. God is spirit. That's how God speaks, connects, visits. If we say we are one in spirit. So if this is outer court, body, this is holy place,
soul,
this is most holy place, spirit. Say spirit. This dimension, say, is complete. So remember, this is the completion of God. All right? Remember what we said is that whenever God meets with us. Now, let me just tell you. If you read the Old Testament Bible, the books, you will always see that when God meets up with Israel, He will meet with them. That's why I say to people, outer court is land. Yes, bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
Holy place is city.
Mm-hmm.
Most holy place is what?
Temple.
Temple of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. All right. So, what did God lit the candle of man? He who came down lit the candle. He who is the light lit the candle of man. The candle of man is the spirit of man. You had a spirit, and God's spirit now intertwines with your spirit by the Holy Ghost, so that it becomes one spirit, not lesser spirit, one. Same spirit, this is the Bible, the same spirit raised Jesus from the dead. If that spirit quickens your mortal body, what will happen? Say same spirit.
Same.
You don't have a lesser spirit. You are not of lesser being. All right, so, land, city,
temple.
Temple. Say land, city,
temple.
That's why you can be in Israel, out of court, and not be in the temple.
But if you're in the temple, you automatically...
Well, we get there. You're right, you got it. You can be in Jerusalem, say city, but not yet
in the
temple.
But Jerusalem is in the land.
Jerusalem is in the land. If I'm in Jerusalem, I must be in the land.
So one and two is...
Okay. So when I get to temple... All right. Now remember what we said. Water, to get water, which is liquid, it changes form. Remember that. So we have oxygen and hydrogen. It looks the same. Say, looks the same. That's why outer court and holy place looks the same. There's things that change. It looks the same. Some of the teachings are even the same. But when you get into the third of the threes, there's a change. And that is when people usually say, but that cannot be God, nor can it be the Bible. Because it's a strange teaching. It's not a strange teaching. From the place where it was seed, it germinated now into a tree. It transformed into the mature thing. Because now what God wants to teach is the spiritual understanding of that teaching. the understanding of your Bible. That's why when you study your Bible, you will find that there are things that you need. Remember the two things that will happen whenever you are in a church. You will either get a teaching or you will be preached to. When they preach to you, what is the response? Would be faith. So when I preach to you, the response is faith. You get excited and you get lifted up. It moves the heart of man. You are motivated. If I preach to you, I speak to your mind. It's about the intellect of man, where the mind of man must be changed. But here's the thing, if I cannot reach your heart first, it's impossible to reach your mind. That's why both these things, teaching and preaching, were supposed to be in the body of Christ. Because if I overload you just with information, you'll surely die. Truly die. Yes.
If you look at 1 and 2, I mean, like one, for the trees, you know, the animal, I mean, the plant life, and two, being the animal life. Obviously, there's no spirit, there's no connection with God. So why do we humans? You look at it. God has given us spirit. We humans have the 1, 2, 3 in us.
Yes.
So He wants to have us at the temple. And that's ultimately our goal.
That's ultimately our goal. I'll show you what is now happening. You know that in the book of... Wait a minute. Let me just take a look. Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah means comforter. Name denotes nature. Well, that's important. So comforter speaks of, say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
In Nehemiah, the temple was restored. So temple restored. When God comes along and He touches you, God doesn't touch you first in your body. He first saves what? When God saves you, when God came to save you, what did He save?
Spirit.
Oh, say you were made whole. The temple was restored. Now you are the temple of the Holy. The temple was restored. God's communication is from a most holy place because He's a most holy God. That's why when God looks at you and speaks to you, He speaks out of you as a holy temple. God cannot see you anything else but holy. You might not even see yourself as holy, but God surely does. You know why? Because the blood precedes the oil always. So the blood is there to cleanse you, and the oil is there to manifest Him, God. So the blood always precedes the oil, and so the blood is the cleansing thing that cleanses the temple. That's why you, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are holy. You have a Holy Spirit. You are holy. You cannot say you're not holy, because you're making God now a liar. God says, you are holy, and I have placed an earnest of my inheritance upon you. You're a holy people. Alright? So here now. So when we look at this from the perspective where God has restored us, now if I take that teaching of the church, this woman, which is now the soul of man, the psuche of man, because one third of you are spirit. Spirit is masculine. And later on we will look at it, why it's masculine. And the soul is feminine. That's why I usually say to people that we need a marriage union. Your spirit and your soul needs to become one. So you are led by
spirit.
Say led by
spirit.
Now we are sometimes led by soul, or even worse, we are led by body. Oh, Jesus, help us. When God met up with the Apostle Paul, he was blinded by the presence of God. I pray that God will do that with all of us, so that we can be blinded. The thing that God blinded, I believe, was the suke, the soul, that woman on the inside, so that God could just open up his spiritual eyes and there could be a union, so that his soul would submit totally unto the spirit man. Remember in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve could touch the natural trees. They could see them. Say they could see and touch them. All right. And they walked with God. Spiritually, they could see God because they were hiding from him when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what happened when they ate of that tree? What did the Bible say? Their eyes were opened. What eyes? Their eyes, their spiritual eyes was open. Their natural eyes was open. What eyes was open? I tell you what, eyes.
Soul.
The soul. Mm. Your soul cleave unto dust. David prayed to say, deliver me from that. Mm. Where my soul just wants to be married to dust. Mm. So that my soul can become in union with my spirit. Mm. Soul, suke, listen now. Mm. Consists of what? Intellect.
The tree of knowledge.
Oh yes. Emotions. Feelings. Oh, I don't feel like it. I don't feel God is good.
I feel you were wrong.
I feel you were wrong.
You were.
I don't feel to go to church. I don't feel like it to worship. I don't feel like it to make peace. My will, three things. My intellect and my emotions. You can even put, some people put desires as well. But those are the things which is the soul of man. Receive ye the unadulterated word of God that are able to save your. There's no place in the Bible where God says, I'm going to save your spirit. Because the moment you were born again, your spirit was saved. Fully saved. But receive ye the ingrafted, the unadulterated word of God that are able to save your soul. Because as God can save the soul of man, he will surely deliver the body. So, I need to stop almost. Here's the thing. Overload. So gas, oxygen, hydrogen, liquid, changes form. Doesn't look the same. It's 1 + 2 = 3. That's why in that dimension, you won't find things that are here. Yeah, you might have sickness and diseases. Doesn't exist in the third of the threes. Yeah, you might have troubles. Doesn't exist in that dimension. Yeah, you can have pop. Does not exist in that dimension. Where do you want to live?
Number three. How do we love
again? All right. We're going to talk about it as we continue.
How do you stay there?
Here it is. So this woman, just want to finish with that tonight. This woman had an issue. Issue. How many issues do we have in the church? Remember, she's the church. How many blood issues do we have that is costing our lives? How many fights and feelings? How many? And we gave our money because we want God to bless us. But the thing that he needs to change is not our giving. It's our hearts. We cannot produce anything in the kingdom of God, so we force create. So churches start off and they become big, but they're big by organization, and their numberings is big because they force create. So the funnel is like this. So we have all these babies that are never fathered nor mothered. They are born and they can go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them die without people looking after them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have programs in churches. Well, this is what we're going to do to get them in. We're going to run this campaign. So we decide how we're going to do it. And we have our church growth seminars. We have our marriage seminars. And so we create things to keep the body busy. And the more they come, the more they pay. Because the promise is that they would be healed. And how many seminars? Toiling and spinning concepts must we go to before there's a transformation of life.
Amen.
The truth behold. He is knocking at the door, but he's outside the church. He's so in love with the church that he will keep on knocking until somebody opens up and say, come in. And the first thing that you must understand, that in the opening of the door, which he is knocking on him, which he is. If you can open, the first thing that he will do is he'll say, sup with me and I'll sup with you, and we'll have supper together. In the midst of our enemies, we'll slaughter that thing. I'll teach you about a finished work, and I will tell you that you're one with me. We are of kindred spirit. You have my spirit. I'm one with you. You are my temple. You are my wife.
Amen.
It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is on the menu is Jesus. He would look at his disciples and he will ask them, if you want to follow me, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they thought he was talking about cannibalism. But he was talking about communion.
Spirit.
Coming together as one. Oh, Jesus. 12 years. The number of foundations. Those churches don't have apostolic ministry. Remember, she was bleeding at the place of reproduction. In true reality, they cannot even produce anything that is of kingdom value. Because brideship precedes sonship. And if the bleeding doesn't stop, it means that there was no seed yet given to the woman. In the third dimension, when we talk about that bleeding, it is a place of reproduction. It's a place that she was supposed to bring forth babies or sons in the kingdom of God. Apostolically, there's nothing. There is no foundations. There is no apostles.
There's no sons.
So there can be no sons. That means that this woman has no relationship with nobody. She's all alone. According to the Jewish custom, she is making everything and everybody else unclean. But God is changing it because now he's walking there. Remember who he is. He's the original seed. You want to stop the bleeding of a woman? The cycle of that thing, you want to stop that? She must receive seed to be pregnant with purpose.
Amen.
Jesus, help us. You see, all the self-help books, all the toiling seminars, all the spinning seminars, all the things that we think that we can go to and put our money there and will not Put Adam back together again.
Amen.
God killed him and destroyed him. We try to fix Adam. You cannot fix that. You cannot fix that cannot be fixed. We have self-help books and we think that we can come together and we can just come and encourage one another, but not get back to a finished work where we, where he is everything. He's the beginning and the end. He did it all. He's the original seed. You were supposed to receive the engrafted word of God, that unadulterated word that will save your soul. If you are weary and if you are tired, come to me.
I'll give you rest.
And I will. Do you have that scripture, Mary? Can you find it for me? There's a rest that is given. Say, there's a rest given. And there's a rest that you can find. Oh, just get the scripture, please. There's a rest that is given. And in the place of salvation, we have great peace. No, it's in the book, in the Gospels. Yes. Hallelujah. So this woman who had an issue of blood pressed through the crowds. And what he did, the original seed, when she touched him, he made her clean. He cleansed her. She did nothing. He did it all. And so Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
I will
give you rest. All right, then he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a rest that is given. But if you can learn from God, there is a rest. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble. I'm going to say that again. Not just peace. Great peace have they that love the law, not the Ten Commandments, the royal law of God. To love the Lord your God above all, and your neighbor
like yourself.
Here's the thing: you cannot love a neighbor if you first don't love
yourself.
And you cannot love yourself if the love of God was not yet shared abroad within your heart. That's the struggle of man. Because we hate ourselves. And that's why we see all of our own mistakes as a mirror within the lives of others. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Will cause them to stumble. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that your word will just penetrate every heart and mind. Those that are listening, that you will just come, Lord, and just change every every one of us. For Lord, we want to see the glory of God. We want to experience. And we want to have understanding, Lord, about those things that matter to you. The things of the Spirit. For a carnal man does not understand the things of God. For it is spiritually discerned. And so I pray, Lord, that you will just open up the eyes of every believer, everyone who listens. I pray for your healing presence to just heal everyone. Lord, there are so many people that are suffering with the diseases within their bodies. And I pray now in the name of Jesus that you would come because you are gracious and compassionate. That you would heal every person that are listening from every disease. Touch them in their bodies. Touch them in their minds. Diseases within the mind of man. Touch them, oh God. Heal them. Those of us, Lord, that needs a miracle in our finances, we come to you knowing that you are the source, our source, and the source of all things. Amen. And the people of God say, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah.